this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised seven to raise models of integrity and power. Models that will rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of a word of life. Join God's choice servant for the world of His grace.
Shall we open our scripture to 1 Corinthians chapter 4? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'll take verse 1 to 5. And this morning, I'll be sharing with us on a topic I call Call to Stewardship. A call to stewardship. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. Are we there? This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. All at that time, each will receive their praise from God. A call to stewardship. When God created mankind, He created us to be steward of His resources. And there are so much resources that God has deposited and made available to us as mankind, and especially as believers, that we must trade with, that we must manage, that we should utilize for the expansion of His kingdom, for the establishment of His kingdom, for the advancement of His kingdom right here on earth. But from the fall of man, things begin to fall apart and the centers could not hold. And so part of the things that fell apart, even among the so-called believers, were the things that Apostle Paul was answering, was addressing in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. When you take from chapter 1 to 3, we see some of the problems, some of the challenges that church is facing, which is also an offshoot of the problem in the society. The problem of error of comparison, the error of boasting, envy, jealousy, division in the body of Christ, immaturity, ignorance of who they are, and so on and so forth. And so Apostle Paul explained the concept of stewardship in that context as a kind of answer to those problems. He told them that Christ is the wisdom and the power of God. The boasting should be in the Lord, because God uses the foolish thing to confound the wise, and so on and so forth. But when he gets to chapter 4, in providing answers to those questions, he said, this then is how you ought to regard us. He went back to the question of identity. In other words, a call to stewardship is a call to correct understanding of your identity in Christ Jesus. Because that is who we are made to be from the beginning. That will not permit us to go back to Genesis and explain all of that. The workers, we have explained that yesterday. But even when Jesus came, He restored us to that big assignment. Ephesians 2 said, for we are God's workmanship, created for good works, which God has what? He has ordained. He has prepared from what? From the beginning. So He brought us back to the question of identity. And friends and brethren, when you don't have a correct identity of yourself, you cannot be a faithful steward of God's resources. How did the fall itself happen? The serpent confused man with regards to their identity. The serpent through whom the devil speaks to Adam and Eve, the serpent that is supposed to exercise control over as God's steward, they entertain him too much. They entertain the serpent too much that he said, does God really say that you should not eat from the fruit of this garden? And then in verse 4, the serpent said, you will not certainly die. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Confused identity. And because man fell for that trap, not knowing who they are as the image of God, not appreciating who they are as the image of God, because of that confused identity, there was a fall. And I want to announce to someone this morning, if you are not yet born again, if you have not yet received the grace of God that has appeared and that has brought salvation unto all men, you cannot be a faithful steward. You cannot be a steward. Not to talk of even a faithful one. So when we talk about stewardship, a call to stewardship, or first of all, let's start with who is a steward. That will take me to verse 2, then I come back to verse 1. He said, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. So who is a steward? Let's just use the Bible to explain it. A steward is someone that is tested and found faithful. When God tests you with your sexuality, and yesterday we said sexuality is not sensuality. It's not about sexual intercourse, sexual behavior. Your sexuality is your male dignity, your female dignity, the strength and the abilities that are unique to you as human being, as man or woman. So when God tests you with some abilities, he tests you with your temperament, when he tests you with wealth and so on and so forth, he wants to find out, will you be faithful? Will you make judicious use of those strengths and abilities and giftings that he has endowed you with? A steward is a trusted person. One that can be trusted. No wonder God, after he has tested and found Job faithful, he could boast, he could tell the devil and say, have you seen my servant Job? He has so much wealth. But the Bible records he remained righteous. He knew God. He continued in his communion with God. The wealth did not make him forget God. He has been tested and found faithful. So God can trust him. God can say, check him out. It's not going to fail me. I declare that in those junctions, in those exalted positions that God has located you, may you not fail God in the name of Jesus. May you not be a disappointment to heaven in the mighty name of Jesus. A steward is one who is totally obedient to divine injunction. Totally obedient. When God is saying, do this, he does it. And he does it promptly. He does not follow the examples of disobedience. There are many examples of disobedience today. We negotiate. But when it comes to obeying God as a steward, there is no room for negotiation. Lot tried to negotiate, but that negotiation landed him in doom. It landed him in incest and all kind of curses that goes with it. But when we talk about somebody like Moses, he was totally obedient. God will tell him, do this like this, do this. And the Bible will say, and he did everything according as the Lord has commanded. No wonder God himself in Numbers could make boast of Moses and said, there is none like my servant Moses who is faithful in all my house. Who is a steward? A steward is someone that is teachable and valuable in God's agenda. So much going on in our world. So much going wrong in Nigeria. But God has saved you by grace. He has changed you by grace so that you can be the agent of change in this generation with regards to how you use all the resources he has endowed you with. Luke 7 2 was talking about the centurion servant. He said his servant was sick. His servant that he valued highly. Is so much valued that this servant must not die. Because he's such a valuable person. Teachable and valuable. The question is, can you be regarded as a steward? Can you be tested and found faithful? Can God really trust you like Daniel? Can God trust you like Joseph the carpenter and Virgin Mary to say, look, take care of my son. I'm going to give you the Savior to nurture, to take care of. Can God trust you like Paul? Are you really obedient? Are you teachable and valuable in God's agenda? Now, let's go back now to verse 1. Then this then is how you ought to regard us. Identity. And how did Paul say they should be regarded? To avoid the confusion, the division, the boasting, the arrogance, and all of that going on in the Corinthian church. He said, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Very quickly, four things that we can infer from servants of Christ. So a steward is a servant of Christ. But when we are called to stewardship as servants of Christ, what are the four things or six things that we are called to do that will really make us faithful steward, tested and trusted, valuable and teachable? One, a call to stewardship is a call to service. Call to service. Service to God, service to the body of Christ, and service to humanity. God has endowed you with spiritual gifts. Is it of singing? Is it of hospitality? Is it of welcoming people? Is it of encouraging and all of that? So that you can serve Him. So that you can serve the body of Christ. And so that you can transform the society. Servants serve. Servants, they minister to their master. They minister to meet the needs of others for the sake of their master. So when God blesses you with resources, how does he want you to use it to serve Him? In 2 Corinthians 9:10, the issue of the seed and the bread is there. Say, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So when God blesses you, in that same blessing, there is a seed. There is a bread. There is a bread for you to eat, to buy clothes, to build houses, and what. But there is also a seed. A seed to bless the church of God with. A seed to bless someone who does not have a job, and you want to set up a business for that person. A seed to sow something into somebody's life from that same resources that God has blessed you. That's what makes you a faithful steward who has received a call of service. So as God is calling you to still worship this morning, my plea is that you receive that call. You don't drop the call. You don't miss the call. You don't let it enter voicemail. You ask yourself, Lord, where have you been calling my attention? The resources that you have placed in my custody that you want to use to become a blessing to this generation. And then you take necessary step. So a call to stewardship is a call to service. And maybe I quickly mention something about stewards of environment here. God has blessed us so much in the environment. But most often than not, we don't pay attention. And whatever you do to the environment is what the environment does to you. God placed man in the garden. Genesis 2:15. And so if you will be a good steward of the environment, very quickly, five things, as a way of serving God, as a way of serving the body of Christ, and as a way of serving the community. One, you must reference God. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hand has made, I see the star, I hear the roaring thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou.
So when you visit the zoo and you see the wonderful creation, when you go on an excursion, maybe to Olumiri Waterfall or to Ikogosi Warm Spring and those wonderful places, and you travel outside the country, you get to the Caribbean, what should be your response? Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou, how great thou. When you see the intelligent dogs that can fish out a criminal, what a great God we serve. When you see the bird singing of God's glory and praise, when you see a palm tree, you see these wonderful trees, wonderful flowers, how great thou art, how great thou. You reference God when you see those wonders of creation. Number two, you regard the creation. You regard the creation. By regard, I'm not saying you worship trees and animals. No. Can you start a garden in your compound? Can you plant something in cement bags? Can you have your own tomato farm? So that what happens 3-4 months ago do not repeat itself, where you all, everybody has to depend on tomato that has to come from the north. One of the major problems that we have in Nigeria is consumerism. We just want to consume. Nobody wants to go back to the farm. There's so much you can do in a little space around your corner, in your house, in your compound. That is your regard for the creation. And you will notice that when you find yourself in a beautiful environment like this, that has trees, that has flowers, you smell, you yourself can enjoy the air that you breathe. Unlike when you find yourself in a ghetto or in a crowded place, you can feel the air yourself, because the trees, they give out oxygen as part of their byproduct, and you take that in, and you also do what? You give out carbon dioxide, which is part of what they use in photosynthesis. And very quickly, because I won't come back to this issue of environment. Three, reduce waste. God gave us a clean environment so that we can be healthy. But because our environment has become so dirty, it has become a source of many infections, some respiratory diseases, some reproductive diseases, toilet diseases. They are born out of uncleanliness. And time will not permit us to go into the different injunction that God gave them, even in the Old Testament, with regards to how they take good care of the environment. Please reduce waste. Don't just keep burning things anyhow, anywhere, creating air pollution. And of course, it's also so much of burning and gas flaring and combustion that is affecting our temperature now. The greenhouse effect, the depletion of the ozone layer, the climate change, is because of the way we just burn things anyhow. We do gas flaring. And if the United Nations, they directly or indirectly are aware that environment is key, and out of the 17 sustainable development goals, 8 of them are related to the environment. Clean water, here and there, and so on and so forth. So reduce waste, my brethren. Number four, reduce.
reuse. Reuse substances. You finish a bottle of water, what can you use it for again? Who can you sell it to? Who can you package together for? Because these are things that cannot decompose. So when you have nylons, you have bottles, well, in some country, there are legislation against plastic. But not Nigeria anyway. But the world is groaning, and they are waiting for the expectation of the sons of God. And you are. You can start that change. Reduce. And reuse. Reuse things. Let's not just pile up nylon, plastic. See how you can reuse them. Who can you give it to that will reuse it? Either to sell Zobo, to sell Kunu, or whatever. With proper hygiene being taken care of. And what is the number 5 thing to the environment? Recycle. Recycle. I believe there could be one or two person here that God may even be leading you to start a recycling business. So much is being wasted. So much is being wasted as waste in our environment because we have not tapped into recycling. And I'm aware that Redemption Camp and some other places, they are doing so much recycling, even to generate electricity. All right, so that's how they pass the environment. Let's come back. Our call to stewardship, what is it? We have said it's a call to service. As you do those 5 R's as stewards of the environment, you are serving God and you are making the environment better. But apart from service, you are called to sacrifice. You are called to sacrifice. A servant sacrifices his time and energy to serve and please the master. So what is that divine enablement that you have? What are you going to do? How are you going to invest time to fan into flame that gift of God in you? To fan into flame that gift. Praying, tonguing, praising God, sharpening your skill. Sacrifice. That is who a steward is. Yesterday I mentioned a part of the gift of our sexuality is that as human being, as man in particular, you have the muscle and you have the grace for adventure. Not like this generation Z. Something is burning. A house is burning. And the next thing is, see, a house is burning here. Yeah. But if it had to be 10, 20, 30 years ago, what will happen? Say, come. Let's get buckets. Let's get this. Let's get that. Let's quench this fire. Those are the special ability, adventurous grace that God has given you as a human being. And our mothers, our women, our female, they are wonderful people. Solution provider. Great, they are great in multitasking. That will call for so much sacrifice. So much sacrifice. As you give unto the Lord, as you give to bless other people's lives, as you set them up for business, as you use your influence, you go outside of your comfort zone to get a job for someone, you are using your stewardship of influence. You are using your stewardship of influence. So a call to stewardship is a call to sacrifice. Number 4, it's a call to submission. A call to stewardship is a call to submission. A servant submits to the will of the master. If the master says, this is our itinerary for this day, this and this and this are the what I want you to do, he say, yes, sir. Like Adai, one of our newest songs, say, yes, sir. That's the language of a steward. Not, no, sir. You cannot say, no, my lord. It's not possible. It doesn't go together. But that's what we do at times with regards to the resources God has given us. God is saying, go and lay hands on that sick or that madman. Say, no, sir. What if he doesn't get ill? How is that your problem? How is that your headache? You just obey. Just submit. Say, yes, sir. You have planned for that money and it landed and God is saying, I want you to use part of this money or I want you to give everything to this cause. Of course, there are measures of grace and there are degrees of faith. But you know that God will not promote you to the next level if you have not passed the first test. If God has tested you with hundreds of thousands and he realized you are not faithful enough, he can't test you with millions.
it won't take you to the billions. But when you realize that the millions is nothing to you, because you know that God is the word, is the owner, then you say, oh, this is my boy. Oh, this is my servant in whom I'm well pleased. Let's take him to the level of billions. I don't know who God is talking to this morning. You are the only one that limits the grace of God in your life. But I should submit to his will. Even Jesus, Bible says, Jesus himself took the form of a servant and submitted to God. And he did what? And he was obedient to the point of death. Said, therefore, the Lord did what? Lifted him. He was given a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess that word, Jesus is Lord. Example of submission. Example of servanthood as a steward. So as you use God's endowment for personal, for his glory, he also lifts you up. When you use those resources God has blessed you with to lift God up, God will also do what? He will also lift you up. When you stop doing things your own way and for personal gain, but begin to do it for God's glory in submission to his will. A call to stewardship is not just for service. It's not just a call to sacrifice. It's not just a call to submission. It's a call to selfless love. Is a call to selfless love. Like Mercy Chinwo will sing, Jesus, you love me too much, oh, too much, oh, too much, oh, excess love. So when you see that divine endowment that you have, is it of singing? Is it of interceding? Is it of giving? Is it in healing and deliverance and all of that? Then you use it with selfless love. That's where 1 Corinthians 13 says, even if I speak in tongues and I do not have love, I'm like an empty cymbal. Whatever it is that God has endowed you with, when you don't use it with selfless love, as a way of appreciation to the God that blesses you with it, you are not yet a good steward. You are not yet a good steward. Because it's a privilege to be given so much of those benefits. The abilities as a man, as a woman, the strength of your temperament. Why some people are afraid of addressing an issue, because you are a choleric. You have the enough courage, natural, before you even talk about the enablement of the spirit to confront that situation. And when people are complaining about not preaching the gospel, not being a steward of the gospel, your sanguine temperament is already an ability, a trust that God has given you. Say, look, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations for me. So as you make friends easily, what do? You make enough friends for Jesus. You bring them to Christ. You bring them to Christ. Because you are just a likable person, a lovable person, you are outgoing. And with the enablement of the Spirit, you are able to do what? You are able to do greater exploit as steward of the gospel. Out of selfless love. Out of selfless love. When the disciples came back from a particular mission trip and say, oh, hey, we have done this, we have done that. Jesus said, okay, fine. Don't rejoice because those things happen. Rejoice that your name is what? Is written in heaven. Say, who is that servant who will go out and do some things, and when he comes back, then the master will say, sit down, let me prepare food for you. Say, no. He will still go out and do what? And serve the master. And he will say, oh, we are just unworthy servants. We are just doing what you have asked us to do. So God has blessed us so much with so much resources in the environment, with wealth, with abilities, and with relationships. Maybe I will say one or two things about that before I round up. With relationships. Relationship with parents, with siblings, with your peers, with your significant others. Because there are things God wants to shape in your life through those relationships. There are things God wants to impart into your life through those relationships. So when you don't value relationship, you begin to lose your value. But when you value relationship and you harness the strength, the benefits in those relationships, not as a user, but as a steward. There are people, they get close to you because of what they want to get from you. And when they get it, what do? They reverse. They walk away. No, that's not a good steward. Relationship is the greatest asset. And when you maximize the blessings, the lessons in the relationship around you, they help you in the future to get to the greater height that God has for you. I mentioned yesterday that the reason why some marriages are failing is because the lessons that the couple, either the man or the woman, should have learned in their previous relationship, positive one, they fail to learn. Then they do a carryover. The baggage of the wrong things they have learned in those relationships, they bring it into the marriage. And that doesn't work. It doesn't work. Let's go to verse 3 and 4. Apostle Paul said, I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. As steward, we are to give account to God. And so you must do self-examination this morning. As steward, we give accounts to God. It doesn't matter how much people celebrate you. The one that will pass you, the one that will give you the pass mark, is God. You know, at times as, you know, children, when they want to play funny, preparing for exam, then they will set some very simple questions for themselves. Maybe 10. Then they will mark it. Then they will score themselves 10-10. But is that the kind of question the teacher will ask there? No. But that's how, what we do also at times as believers. Say, because we compare ourselves with ourselves. And the Bible says, they that compare themselves with themselves and measure themselves with themselves, they are what? They are not wise. So this morning, as you do self-examination, it's not about, oh, I give better than this person. Oh, I take care of my environment better than this person. Oh, as a man, I defend. I don't exploit ladies. I defend them. I help them. I support them. Mm-mm, that's not the question. The question is, God, here I am. Check me out. Am I living to your expectation? What are those resources that I have not been maximizing? Open my eyes to them. Is it a divine enablement? Is it a kind of spiritual gift? Is it some special abilities as a man, as a woman? Is it your wealth? Is it about the environment? Just ask God, Lord, check me out. You are the one that will judge me. You are the one that has the marking scheme. Where do I need to get better as a faithful steward? Do self-examination. And as you do self-examination, like Paul, seek divine commendation. He said, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Seek divine commendation. Seek divine commendation. Perhaps you are here this morning. Your gifting is the one that you use in the private. Perhaps intercession. Your giving may be in the private. Don't worry. Keep doing it faithfully. Because you are not doing it for show. You are doing it to seek what? Divine commendation. As a man, you feel like, no, and I will show him. I will show him I'm the man here. Will you submit to God as a steward and say, okay, this ego, I crucify you. This pride, this arrogance, I crucify you. My strength is to support this woman, is to help this woman, is to treat her like a weaker vessel. God is calling us to stewardship. He wants stewards that can be tested and found faithful. That can be trusted like Daniel, like Job. He wanted people that would be totally obedient to him. That would be teachable and valuable. The first question this morning is, are you even born again? Do you even know Jesus? Because until you know Jesus, you cannot even understand and comprehend what it means to be a steward of his resources. So much of God's word have been coming from this pulpit, which I do not take for granted that I'm permitted to speak from. But the question is, how much of that word have you put to use as a steward? How much of them have you maximized for the expansion of God's kingdom? So much utter cause, so much cause for rededication has come. But what are you still waiting for? God has been calling you to a higher level of communion and relationship with him through the messages. What are you going to do differently as from today? Bible records concerning the parable of the sower. Yes, we talk about the first three as if they are the bad ones. You know, the one by the roadside, the one among the thorns, and the one on the rock. Yes, as bad as they are, there is also a lesson for us in the one that fell on the good land, because their productivity level are not the same. Some were producing 30-fold, but that's not the maximum outputs. Some are producing 60-fold, but they are not yet there. What is the target? 100-fold. Fullness. Moses was always doing everything God told him to the letter. He did everything as the Lord has commanded him. If you have done only 9 out of the 10 things that God has commanded you, you are not yet there. You can ask for grace this morning. You can ask for extra grace this morning to be a better steward, to be a faithful steward. And perhaps your own question is, I don't even understand. I'm even yet to comprehend all that God has for me. You can also ask him. But that was the kind of problem that Paul was addressing with the Corinthians. He said, don't be ignorant of your identity in Christ. Don't be ignorant of the God that is at work in you, both to live and to do of your of his good pleasure. Don't be ignorant. Don't be immature. Because God has saved you so that you don't live for yourself again, but that you live for him. That hymn writer say, I live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I live for him who died for me. My Savior and my Lord. Will you make a commitment to live for the Lord this morning? First, in giving your life to Christ. Two, in repenting of the envy and the jealousy of other people's gift, of mismanagement of the resources God has given you. Will you repent this morning? And we also ask for grace to give maximum outputs. Can we bow down our heads as we begin to talk to the Lord this morning? So much to say by each of the 7-8 levels of stewardship, but time will not permit us. But I believe the Holy Spirit has touched you in a particular area. You are here this morning, you have not given your life to Christ. That is the beginning point. Can you just place your hand on your chest and begin to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to become your Lord and your personal Savior? Say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and personal Savior. I don't want to just be churchy, just come into church. No. I want to live for you. This life is not my own. You gave it to me, and I want to use it for you. Are you making that commitment to give your life to Christ, to accept him as a Lord and personal Savior? Maybe the ushers or whosoever is in charge, you may take note of such persons as they give their lives to Christ and as they rededicate their lives. Your life is an investment that must bring God glory. Your life is an investment that you benefit this generation, that must benefit your creation. So can you ask Jesus to come into your life right now? And have you identified those things you need to repent of? The way you contribute to the groaning in the environment. Can you say, Lord, I'm sorry? The envy, the jealousy, the comparison, the error of comparison, the self-glory. Will you ask God for forgiveness this morning and say, Lord, rather than use my giftings, my resources for your glory, I've been boasting with it. I've been envying. I've been guilty of jealousy and error of comparison. Lord, forgive me. Yes, you are born again, but you have those issues.
You have those issues and you are saying, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I repent today. Forgive me. I don't want to be those that cause division again. I don't want to be among those that cause division. I don't want to fall prey again to the error of comparison. I want to maximize the gift you have given me, the resources you have placed before me, not looking for someone else's. And the third category this morning, say, Lord, I want to be a faithful steward. Someone that can be tested and trusted. Someone that is totally obedient. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. Lift me up to another level of obedience, to another level of fruitfulness. It is expected of the steward to be found faithful, and faithfulness will yield fruitfulness. Can you say, Lord, I want to be more fruitful. I want to be more fruitful. I want to be a better fruitful steward of the gospel, steward of the words that I've been receiving. I've been giving so much, I don't want to hide it like the third man. I've been giving so much, I want to maximize them. I want to make the best of the grace that I have received. Take me to the next level of grace. Take me to the next level, to the next measure of grace as your steward. Let your grace be sufficient for me to serve you better, to sacrifice more, to submit to you wholeheartedly, and to serve you with selfless love. Give me the grace. Give me the grace. Give me the grace. Are you that highly valued servant that God is looking for this morning? Can you say, here I am, Lord. Send me to be a good steward of sexuality, a good steward of my temperament, a good steward of the environment, a good steward of my wealth and influence, lifting up others with the wealth that I've received, with the resources I've received, a good steward of my varied abilities and strengths, a good steward of the relationship that you have placed in my circle of influence, and a good steward of the divine enablement. Lord, help me to be that faithful, trusted steward. My lifetime, I will give God my life, all of my life, my lifetime. I will give God my lifetime. When I give God my lifetime, it will take care. It will never let me down. I will give God my life. Lord, this is our confession this morning. You are the Lord our creator. You are the Lord our sustainer. You are the owner of our lives. This life is not our own. It belongs to you. And so this morning we say we give it all away for your glory and for the benefit of the society and our generation. For as many that have made one commitment or the other this morning, Lord, I ask that grace, sufficient grace, abundant grace, to translate this resolution even to practical actions, you will release unto them in the mighty name of Jesus. As many that are saying, Jesus, come into my heart. As many that are saying, I want to be a disciple of Christ so that I can be a faithful steward. Lord, I ask that by your mercy, you will draw them to yourself this morning and you will write their name in the book of life in the mighty name of Jesus. Are there people repenting of one sin or the other this morning? Repenting of envy, error of comparison, jealousy, division, and all sorts, because they are comparing themselves with themselves. Rather than say, Lord, here I am, check me out. Lord, for every of such repentant act this morning, Lord, I ask that you accept them in your mercy in the mighty name of Jesus. May you open our eyes more and more by the enablement of your spirit to see those resources lying fallow in our life, to see those resources that we are misusing, to see those resources that we are abusing, so that we can begin to turn, so that we can turn over a new leaf and begin to use them appropriately for the expansion of your kingdom. Open our eyes to see those things in the name of Jesus. No more shall we misuse your grace. No more shall we abuse your grace, but we will use it for the expansion of your kingdom in the name of Jesus. You will help us to understand better and deeper all that you have endowed us with, physically, spiritually, financially, in every dimension. You will help us to understand better and to dig deeper into them for the expansion of your kingdom in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are thirsting for more of you in our lives. Yes, you have loaded us with so much benefits, so much blessings, so much resources. But perhaps we are still at 30-fold result. Perhaps we are still 40, 50, 60. But we know we can do better. I pray, oh God, that Lord, you will take us men that are yearning for more of you, for more fruitfulness in this dimension. I pray that, Lord, your grace will lift them all to that next level in the name of Jesus. Make us more fruitful for your glory in the name of Jesus. Take us deeper in our faithfulness and take us higher in our fruitfulness in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us to remain faithful. Help us to remain fruitful to the praise and glory of your name. Thank you, Father, for answered prayer. I pray, Lord, for Lighthouse International Church and for your dear servant, that, Lord, your grace will continue to abound upon his life and this ministry, this commission, in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, through this place, your light will be shed abroad to the whole world in the name of Jesus. That many more sons will be brought to your kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus. That you will use them to do greater exploits in this generation and beyond in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for answered prayer. We bless, honor, and magnify you. In Jesus' matchless name, we pray.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's choice servant. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join God's choice servant at the Light Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda Jue Road, Ibadan, every Sunday, Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.